This is from John 20, verse 11 to 18. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Our Lord, this morning, we just give thanks for that glorious, wonderful event in human history in all the world, how you conquered sin and death, that you came back to life. And Lord, we just pray we would feel that resurrection life and power and joy and identity in us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me take a seat. I've got a bit of a confession to make. Korimako, I actually don't like gardening. Actually, I hate gardening. I don't actually mind gardens, but I hate doing it myself. And apologies to any gardeners or green thumbs out there, but honestly, I'd just love to have a property that just had concrete or artificial grass, or even live in an apartment. I've even had that dream, that fantasy, like no backyard work to do at all. My idea of gardening is something like this. Lots of Roundup. In this passage we've read this morning on the resurrection, we have Mary Magdalene, who is the first person to see the resurrected Jesus. What is really interesting is that she does not recognize him at first. John writes this really interesting phrase in verse 15, supposing him to be the gardener. Supposing him to be the gardener. Did Mary make a mistake? Maybe it was the tears in her eyes. Maybe it was the bad morning sunlight. Maybe she needed glasses. Or was she actually prophetically correct in her first observation? Because, whānau, Jesus is the gardener. He's the divine gardener. Right at the start of our Bibles, we read this in Genesis 2, verse 8 to 10. And the Lord God planted a garden Eden in the east, and there he put the man who he had formed. Like a gardener, God cultivated and walked in that garden. And we were created to be co-gardeners with him. Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man, humans, and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. In John 15, verse 1, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." A vine dresser is a person who cultivates and prunes grapevines, basically a grape gardener. John 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden. Jesus is going to the Garden of Gethsemane. And in John 19, verse 41, now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. Really interesting there that you know, where he dies and where he's buried, the same place in John's gospel with the garden. You know, it's that making that point that you can't have the resurrection without the cross. It's all in the same place. And at the end of our Bibles, right at the end, we read this, Revelation 22, verse 1 to 2. This is the vision that John has of the end of time, when we're all together with God. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruits, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Are you seeing a bit of a theme here that's coming right through our Bibles? The Bible is a gardening book, folks. It begins in a garden and it ends in a garden. And each of these pivotal events has a garden in it. I like what Wendell Berry, he's a famous writer, said this. I don't think it is enough appreciated how much an outdoor book the Bible is. Isn't that beautiful? Like how that this is all occurring in these gardens and in these spaces. And I think God loves gardens. There's something about his creativity and about the way that he created the earth and the way that we're going back to the garden. There's something of his beauty in that. And I think that there's no accident that John's gospel has these references to the garden. Right at the beginning of John's gospel, it begins with these words, in the beginning. Why is John doing that? Because at the start of Genesis, it says, in the beginning. John is wanting us to see that connection with creation and what Jesus is doing through his life, death, and resurrection. I found this a really helpful way to think about what's happening in the big picture of Scripture. And it's from this guy called Pete Hughes at KXC Church in London. And he talks about this, creation, decreation, and recreation. So creation, obviously, in Genesis is God creating this good earth, this beautiful garden that he put us, humanity, in to live in. But if we're familiar with the story, we know that we sinned, that we acted selfishly, and so we fell from that. That's called the fall. And then everything that has gone wrong in our world is part of this thing called decreation. It falls apart. There's sin, sickness, suffering. Adam, as the first representation of humanity, actually failed in his job to be that co-gardener and to do that job well. And then we have this beautiful moment of recreation that we're celebrating this morning with the resurrection. This is what God is doing. The resurrection is the pivotal event in history where Jesus is recreating everything. Not just us, but the whole world. God has got a plan to save the world, and this is part of it. And we are part of that big renewal project, the renewal of all things, including us. And in this incredible event, Jesus is showing his mastery even over death itself. Jesus is the second Adam who faithfully does the job, do what the first Adam couldn't do. And I like this picture of Jesus as a gardener. I think it's a beautiful picture of salvation, a bit like the one of Jesus as the great physician, the great doctor of our soul. Because a gardener is someone who cultivates and tends to the soil and plants. In other words, someone who cares. And they don't mind getting their hands dirty. We were formed out of the earth by our God. The Hebrew word for earth is where we get the name Adam from. And our English word human is actually connected to a word called humus, which means earth as well. Jesus the gardener doesn't mind getting his hands dirty, tending to our lives. He's not afraid of our brokenness. In fact, he's attracted to it. He wants to get into our brokenness, and he wants to work healing and transformation in us. As part of God's creation, do you know that you are part of God's renewal project? You are his garden that he's working on this morning. He wants you to be experienced and be transformed by his resurrection life. Have you ever watched those reality shows where they like transform a property? And so what they do, they often have these sort of shows, and they, you know, have a team of people that go into the property. And often it's like some friends and family of the people have nominated them. Maybe there are some people who've gone through some hardship, and they're really struggling. And so someone's nominated them to one of these TV shows, and this team of people come in with all these experts and resources and, you know, finance and everything to get this thing going. And sometimes the friends and families come in and muck in as well. And it's actually really beautiful what happens. And often there's a you start out with something like this. This must be a photo of my backyard. And then you go to something like this. Yeah. And have you noticed on those shows when the people, they often get the people who own the house to go away? Like they say, go away, stay at a hotel. And then they get them to, you know, come back for the big reveal. And they show them, you know, this beautiful, what they've done. And invariably, on every time they do this, the people are just like blown away, eh? It's this beautiful picture of this transformation that's happened in their backyard. And they're blown away by this incredible act of grace. Like that someone, their friends and families cared enough about them to nominate them to the show, that the show came and there was money poured and resources and people mucked in and expertise and all this to do this for them. It's this incredible gift. And it's just such a blessing. And they're just so overwhelmed as they're just looking at this transformation that's happened in their garden. And this is the great news of the gospel that we're talking about this morning, guys. We don't have to fix ourselves. It's a lavish gift of grace from a loving Father. There is help. There is no garden that is too far gone that Jesus, the divine gardener, cannot help. You know how I shared earlier about I hate gardening? I've got another confession to make. Sometimes I do this thing where I just mow the front lawn and tidy up the front of the section because I'm just too lazy to do the back. And the reason I do that is so that people on the street don't judge me and visitors to my house don't judge me too. And then they get this impression that everything's nice and tidy. But if they come down the back, it's like Jungle Junction. And I just wonder, like, how much are we kind of living our lives like that? You've got the front of the house looking good. It's looking presentable. But back, there's stuff going on. And when I actually examine my feelings about why I don't want to face going out and doing all that, is like, I hate doing it all on my own. Like, I hate, oh, this big job I've got to do. It's overwhelming, and the weeds are growing up like this, and, you know, and it's like this big job I've got to get into and get muck in. But what if you looked at it and there's help? What if a team of people coming? What if Jesus, the divine gardener, is coming to help you do that restoration, that transformation in your property? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? You don't have to do it all yourself. This is the good news of the gospel. Jesus has done it all through his life, his death, and his glorious resurrection, which we celebrate this morning. He can come and do that amazing transformation in you. As I finish this morning, Jesus is here this morning. Jesus, the gardener, has turned up. He's got all his gardening gear, and he's knocking on the door of your heart. Will you let him come in and nourish you, feed you, prune the branches that have become wild so that they may bear even more fruit? And bind up all that is weak and broken, because he loves you and sees in you a garden that can and will bear fruit in his care. Will you yield your life to his gentle hands this morning? Why don't we stand? I'm just going to read this prayer out. Kurimaku whānau, as Easter people, go forth into this day with renewed hope, trusting in the transforming love of God. God does not leave things as they are. With God, all things are made new. All creation responds to God's presence. The world is alive with possibility. We open ourselves to this truth. With Christ, we trust our whole life to this power. Nothing is beyond the reach of God, neither evil, nor hardship, nor death. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.